Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m. Bob is here. Chair and CEO, Coastal Heritage Bank. This segment sponsored by Coastal Heritage Bank. One community, many individuals, one bank that's perfect for you. Coastal Heritage Bank. Growing together. Member FDIC, member DIF. Morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Good morning, Christine. I was enjoying, on the way over to work, I was enjoying your dialogue on National Cereal Day. I think that is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And, Bob, what was your choice as a child? What kind of cereal?
Well, yeah, you know what's interesting? I guess the one that popped into my head, so it had to have been my favorite, was Apple Jacks.
Applejacks.
That's right. I had forgotten about those. I don't think anybody else has mentioned that.
First of all, were you able to get Apple Jacks as a kid?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Loved them.
Apple Jacks was one, I will admit, I enjoyed it, but it was one of those ones I could only have when they got the variety pack of those small boxes.
And yeah, you could sneak
Apple
those
Jacks
in.
Was in one of those mm-hmm. little ones, and I could have it only in small portions, I guess. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Well, remember those little boxes, and I think you could open them up and put the milk in them?
Yes.
Am I misimagining thing?
No, you could have a little perforated line. You could do that. You could pour the milk
in. It's a box and it's a bowl.
I remember eating that one time on a plane and thinking I was very sophisticated.
It had like, what, a little foil inside?
You could just pour the milk right in it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
And that's how you could sneak in something like Sugar Smacks or Apple Jacks.
Wow. I forgot about that.
I loved Apple Jacks.
Well, with all the kids, you guys must have gone through a lot of cereal, Bob, in your house.
Yeah, absolutely. They did. And, you know, we also introduced them, and I never liked it as a kid, but the oatmeal, you know, the packets of oatmeal, the warm cereal. So is that considered cereal, I guess? You know, the hot cereal?
Yeah, people have said they like oatmeal.
Yeah, I love oatmeal.
Some people said they like it with maple syrup and other things and some other cereals. Yeah. So.
Oh, maple syrup and bacon. I mean, come on. I mean, I would probably eat liver or tripe if you put maple syrup
and then melt
and bacon
a little cheese on it too. You know,
I know.
Have the whole
package.
I love
maple. I like so. Oh, I do. I do love it. The maple
that
syrup.
That time of year. Yeah. We're going to get into that time of year coming up. So that's awesome.
I'm going to go tap
March,
a tree.
March it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, so the reason we brought up it's today, it says National Cereal Day. So it's been kind of a fun topic for most to chime in on. All right. Well, let's see. Let's get to some topics here. Bob, what did you want to bring up this week?
Yeah, not of the hard news, Rob.
No, we got to do that.
You know,
balance.
We have to. Well, I at the end of February, last week, the Case-Shiller Price Index came out. Had a recap for 2023, and we've talked about this index. I think it's the gold standard in tracking home prices throughout the United States. It's been around for decades now, and it's a pretty sophisticated index. It tracks the sale of homes, same sale homes in the market. So, you know, if 123 Main Street in Hingham sold, you know, in 2001. They would track when it sold again in 2008 and 2015. And there's all these algorithms to use to aggregate this data. But using, you know, tracking the sale price of the homes as time goes on, they come up with these indices. And they track them now over 20 different metropolitan areas in the United States. Boston is one of the primary ones. Mm-hmm. And overall, for 2023, in the 20 cities that they track, all 20 were up. Which is really not surprising. The lowest I think was Portland, Oregon was barely up for the year. It was a 0.27%. That was the lowest, and the highest was believe it or not, you'd find this interesting. It was tied almost. Detroit and Los Angeles were both up about 8.25% year over year. The Boston area. Boston continues to be a real strong place, metropolitan area for price appreciation. Was 7.24%. The prices have gone up year over year from in 2023. When you look at it, dig into the numbers a little differently. You know, just to kind of go back, if you remember during the horrible COVID years, if you go back in 2021. House prices in Boston area went up over 13%. and they were up in 2020 about over 11%. So it has come down a little bit, 7%. Mm-hmm. Last year in 2022 was 5%. But the Boston area continues to appreciate considerably.
Yes.
The
price is so high, the demand and the space for housing. Although, did you guys hear, will it be that a lot of these office buildings will be converted to, if I can't, lease space to companies anymore, could I turn it into apartments?
There's definitely in the Boston area, downtown Boston, I know the mayor's tried to come up with a program.
Yeah.
But, to retrofit those buildings, it's a costly endeavor.
That's
and true. I assume that some are more conducive to retrofitting than others. That's a little bit above my pay grade. I think there will be some of that, Rob.
Yeah, because they have now people live in like an old mills or something. Remember that? They change
sure.
it, and you move in, you're like, hey, I live in an old factory. But I suppose it would really be right. Yeah, I guess you'd want to say, like, first of all, if it's open, maybe there's only a short turnaround and I can get another business. But if it goes too long, then maybe I would make that investment. But I don't know. Like you said, I'm not an expert when it comes to that. I just know it's good to have people paying rent.
Oh, it's better than it vacant and not paying rent, that's for sure.
Yeah.
In the Boston area, interestingly enough, so if you look at it over the last 5 years, just an annualized return, it was 8.34% in Boston. 8.26%, I'm sorry. So in the Boston metropolitan area, over the last 5 years, on average, prices have gone up annually about 8.25%. So it's that's a pretty good price appreciation. I was looking for the segment. I went in and looked at Norfolk and Plymouth County as well for the Banker and Tradesman, which we follow the Banker and Tradesman here because that's on a more local level on the South Shore. In Plymouth County, year over year is up about 11%. And Norfolk County year over year is up 14%. The average median sales price in Plymouth County is $585,000. And in Norfolk County, it's $700,000. So, when you look back and they have these graphs in the Banker and Tradesman, it's interesting. Plymouth County in 2015, the median sales price was about $300,000. So in 9 years, it's almost doubled. And similarly, in Norfolk County, the median price 10 years ago was about $400,000, and it's, like I said, about $700,000. So breaking into the housing market is we've talked several times over the years here, it is difficult. It doesn't seem to be abating. I would say this. I don't think this is I don't know. You can read into it. But over the last three months, the last 3 months of 2023, prices have actually come down slightly. I don't know if that pretends to be, the impact of the higher interest rates or whether that's a trend that's happening. I know in the 20 markets that this Case-Shiller tracks, 17 were down in December and only 3 were up. Again, too little data to tell whether or not that's going to be a trend for 2024. It's difficult to say. But even if prices just plateau for the next few years, you could make an argument that it's still a very difficult market for folks to get into that aren't in the market. So, but I guess if you own a house, Rob and Christine, you're happy, right?
Yes.
It's appreciating. But if you're not in the market, it's just depressing for sure.
It is. I still have, because I never throw anything out, Bob. I still have an old multiple listing book from the 80s when I bought my house. And
wow.
The prices are like, oh my gosh!
Isn't it wild?
Although some of the really nice houses, like the Sea Captain's houses in Duxbury, relatively speaking, with the other houses, they were still expensive.
They were still tough to get into. Yeah. So what was it, the 1980s?
I do. I'll dig it up and bring it in.
What were the interest rates like though?
The interest rates were high.
Yeah.
They were very bad.
Oh,
I remember
they were very high.
They were, and I remember when we couldn't believe it that our interest rate when we refinanced went down to 10%.
Imagine that.
I'm going way back and remembering, at one point when they were as high as 18%.
Wow.
And then they came down. Mm-hmm.
Those were some tough times.
Back
in the late 70s, early 80s, if you recall, we had stagflation. There was a lot of things macroeconomically going on. There was a not to get technical, but there was a thing called Reg Q, which had regulated interest rates, and that was removed. And there was a phenomenon called disintermediation. And you are correct, Christine. It was crazy. I remember before my time in banking, but I remember talking to folks that when I first broke into the industry that were around in those times, and they were traumatic. I mean, folks talked about it constantly from both a borrower and a banker standpoint. It was scary times. Car.
And the thing that still surprises me is when you talked about interest rates of 5% or 6%, you hadn't seen rates like that since the 60s. So that's why it still amazes me that we went through a period here with these low rates. I thought, you'll never see those again. And look what happened.
Yes.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Magical. Well, I'm off to get my Applejack,
hold
guys.
On. Yeah, no, get it. Well, hold on, Bob. He said he heard you talking about a study. Steve checked in. He said, we just bought first-time home buyers in Sandwich. Curious about the appreciations. Is there anything in your study about the Cape and the South Shore?
I don't, but you know what? I don't have that data right in front of me, but I will get that. So that would be Barnstable County. I don't have that right now, but I will bring that up.
Next,
I will find that information.
Time,
and you bet, Steve.
All
congratulations
right.
on your house, Steve.
Yeah. Sandwich
That's
sounds good.
That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. It's a nice,
it's a great town.
Beautiful
yeah.
town.
All right. Thank you, Bob Taravecchia.
Thanks, gang. Talk soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bob Taravecchia, Coastal Heritage Bank. This sounds Tourist Morning News. Thanks for being with us. We've got another great local author on the program. Always great to talk to local authors from the South Shore. And joining us now is Susan Downing. Susan is from the South Shore, and she is the author of the Bradykin series, Small Town Values, Family Traditions, Happy Memories. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the program, Susan. So this is great. We're going to talk about your series. And by the way, people can find out more at Bradykin.com. And I was on the website learning a little bit more about the books. But Susan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and what led to you creating this?
So I've always had a passion for writing at a young age, and I would be jotting down rhyming phrases. But it wasn't until we actually got our own dog, Catan de Tulia. And we ended up getting him from a farm in New Jersey. And it wasn't until we ended up getting Brady that we started writing about him. Brady, our Catan de Tulia, was actually filmed on Animal Planet's Too Cute episode from birth to 8 weeks. So he was always a celebrity. So we wanted to write about our celebrity dog.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
really how it started.
Okay, so it started because of the celebrity status of your dog. And you felt you wanted to kind of create, and this became a series of books, right?
A series of books. So I wrote 4 books with my daughter, Megan, and 1 book so far with my son, Matthew.
Oh, wow. That's great. Okay. So,
It's been really a family adventure for all of us.
Yeah, it has. Okay. So how many books in total now?
There's 5 books. So one is about a birthday. One is about happiness. One is about family. One is about Martha's Vineyard. And the last one that my favorite that I wrote with my son, Matthew, was about a snowy adventure. I have an amazing illustrator, and the pictures are just wonderful.
Yeah, it really, really makes the dogs seem alive in these photos. I'm looking at some of just the pictures on the website here. Is that your illustrator?
Yes, my illustrator is from Vermont. So I think that's why the 5th book is my favorite, because he's from Vermont, and who knew Vermont better than an illustrator writing about a snowy adventure?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, what age group would these, I mean, are these children's books? What age group are they for?
These are children's books. Yep, we sell them on Amazon or on my website, cover, hardcover, and 3 to 10.
Okay,
3 to 10. We've done a lot with giving back, different nonprofits, hospitals on the South Shore, in Florida, Vermont. One of the reasons why we started writing is when my daughter was 2 months of age, she had viral meningitis. So needless to say, we were in and out of hospitals probably for 12 years because of it. So I was always looking for something to entertain her and something to entertain my son, who would come along on all these appointments. So we just started writing and jotting down. So we put together these bags for the hospitals. We include, you know, the books, the coloring sheets, crayons. So we've given a lot back, you know, all over the South Shore. So we really have a passion with giving back.
Wow. And what was the experience like to walk to work with your daughter and son, and how excited were they to get to work with their mom?
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. I mean, my kids have always been really close, but this just solidified the family. You know, when everybody was living at home, my daughter's in college and my son's out. But when everybody was living at home, we'd have little meetings in the dining room and we'd come up and brainstorm. It was just wonderful. But that was when we were starting the business, starting the website, starting the marketing. But it really has been an amazing adventure.
Wow. Well, we encourage people to get these books. It would be great to read to your kids or grandkids or maybe as a nice gift idea. And how can people pick up these books? Is it available the best just to order it online?
Yes. So they can go right to my website, and it tells a lot about, you know, the family and the, you know, the history of it. But it's bradykin.com, BRADYKIN.com.
Bradykin.com. And Susan, have you guys always had dogs? Have you been someone that had dogs growing up?
No, actually, I never had a dog growing up. Not until we ended up going to the farm in New Jersey to pick up that dog. I don't even know if I've even pet a dog. But that was really my daughter that wanted the dog. And if it wasn't for her sickness when she was younger, I probably would have said no. So it's amazing how things happen, you know, what you do as a parent to make your children happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you're, you know, yeah, you're right. If maybe she wasn't sick, and you know, we're not getting a dog. And,
right.
You know.
And my son would ask, and I'd be like, we're not getting a dog. Megan asked, and we got a dog.
Yeah.
So there's always a soft spot.
That's true.
Why and, you do things.
And that dog ended up changing all of your lives.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, that is a great story. And I guess I can ask, is the family, even though you guys, your kids are getting older and they're in different places, you guys still working together? Are there going to be any future projects?
Yes. The Snowy Adventure is coming out in March, but you can order now. We have another one about a summer camp. But like last year, we did a book signing at the Vineyard. We've gone all over. So, and we do this as a family. Matt, my son Matt, was very involved with Cradles to Crayons and giving back. My daughter Megan, we've gone into schools. So we still, even though everybody's kind of gone their own way, my son works full-time, my daughter's in college, we still come together as a group to do what we can to give back.
Well, I think that's great, and that's a great story itself. So bradykin.com, BRADYKIN.com, and you'll get all the information there and follow along with the different adventures in the Brady Kin series. Susan Downing has been with us. She is local from the South Shore, and a great story, and I'm so glad, Susan, that we could have you on the program, and I learned more about what you've done with this. It's a great story, and I'm glad we could share it with everyone else.
Thanks so much, Rob, for having me.
Absolutely, Susan. Thanks for coming on the program. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. That's Susan Downing, author of the Bradykin series, BRADYKIN.com. 95.9 WATD, the South Shore's Morning News rolls on. I'm Rob Hackelow with the morning team. Great to have you with us. Every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy. That's David Snell over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning to you, Rob.
All right, so we're going to talk about some scams posing growing risks to individuals and businesses. Okay, fill us in on this particular scam here.
Okay, so it's the same scam that we've been fighting with for years and years. It's social engineering tactics where the cyber criminals are gaining the trust of the people that they communicate with. Now, this is, I'm sure you got these because I get them quite often. The way this scam tends to work is by establishing those personal connections with the victims via a wrong number text message.
Oh, okay.
So I get them on occasion. They'll come in and say, are you the person that works here or there or whatever?
Yep.
And they start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the conversation, over a period of time, you begin to start to trust this individual. And there's where they fall victim to these types of text scams for things like, well, it's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. It's for romance scams. It's for fake investments. Well, the fake investment one I found very interesting, where they will convince you to send money, but not send money to the scammer.
Oh,
they're going to have you open your own account, put your own money in, and they're going to help you make money with your money. So you feel you have control of that account.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so far so good. This is a better scam.
Better scam. So finally, when you decide to go and cash out, there's nothing to cash out because you have actually been paying the scammer.
Oh boy. Wow,
that's just one of them. You know that interestingly enough, this past February, a regional bank in Kansas, its CEO was fired for falling for this $50 million pig butchering scam. He got caught up and embezzled $50 million.
$50 million.
$50 million.
Wow, that's a lot of money. Okay, so the CEO fell for the scam.
Yeah, and you know when it depends on what's going on in your life, and when people start to make friends with you and tell you all the wonderful things that you want to hear, you start to trust them. And even if this scam takes, I don't know, 3-5 months to win the trust of the person you're trying to scam, or what they call the pig in this pig butchering scam, that's what they do, and they will continue to communicate, build up a trust level, and go from there. We've also found that they've offered folks jobs overseas, like Miramar, and it sounded great, so they went there, and at that point in time, they were taken hostage, and they're, in fact, the ones that are causing these scams to happen. They're being kept prisoner to do these scams.
Get out. Is that's real? That has happened?
That's real, and that's happened. That's happening. Same thing with the love scams.
Yeah.
You know, so we all have to be careful. And as humans, we have to be careful and watch out for our friends, too. Because these things just, they keep getting worse. They keep finding new ways to get us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're falling for them. We're still falling for them.
Yeah. So now, for that text one, I have gotten some wrong number texts, but most of the time I just delete it. What do they come in as? Do they just say hi or?
Well, yeah, well, more normally they're going to say, "Hi, are you Mary that works at the pet store?" And you say, "No, I'm not." Say, "Oh, well, where do you work?"
Okay,
and they start the conversation.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I have seen usually what I've seen more of. Anytime there are politics, I tend to get messages saying, you know, to support a candidate, but it always has me identified as a wrong person. So I don't know if that's somebody that gave them a fake number, but it's always like, you know, hey, it's like, hey, Mary, don't forget to go out and vote, or how are you, Mary? Can I count on your support for a candidate? It's sometimes not even a candidate that you know, I don't even live in their district. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what that's all about, but they've got some faulty information there in their marketing for those campaigns. And then the other thing is, I'm not sure if this is people on Facebook that have been taken over. They were previously some friends or some contacts, but then all of a sudden they start asking weird questions about
exactly. How
are you and would you like to make extra money?
Yep, there's where it begins. And as I said, they're convincing you that they're friends, they're going to help you, and they even help you set up your own accounts. God forbid you do it, because you're setting up an account with them.
Yeah.
It's a horrible place out there on the internet, and also on your cell phones. You know, we put our cell phone numbers in so many places these days for to identify who we are, for two-factor authentication, for all types of things. And as these other companies get hacked and they get access to cell phone numbers, this is only going to grow larger, bigger, and worse.
Hmm. Wow. All right. Well, watch out. And as you said, David, it's just going to continue. And the best advice, I guess, is to not respond to any of these things and to resist that temptation. Even a bank president could fall for it, I imagine, because it just all depends on where you are and what you're going on in your life at that time. And maybe you might be really desperate for money, or it could be just greed or whatever motivates you. But, you know, sometimes you want to just, you know, be a part of it, and it ends up being all a scam.
Exactly. So this is a $75 billion industry last year.
Ooh.
And it's growing. So it's working for the criminals, so they continue to do it, and they continue to perfect the ways they get into our lives. So be careful.
Be careful. All right, David Snell has got the latest on these and other scams to watch out for on his blog. David, where can people go to read more?
Go to xsmartit.com, click on my blog link, and you'll even get links to some of these stories that are frightening.
Yeah, that is scary. I'm frightened about that one where you see the guy takes a job, thinks they're going overseas, really, to take a job, and then they get up captured, and then they have to work for the criminals. That seems like a plot out of a movie.
And, you know, it probably will be, but that's what's happening today in our world.
All right. Humans doing things to other humans since the beginning of time. Well, watch out. David Snell, ActSmartIT.com. David, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
Take care. ActSmartIT.com. ActSmartIT.com. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.